Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Okay, welcome in, guys, to episode 31 of Coffee and Shell. Just making sure that it's recording this time because, unfortunately, last week's episode died on YouTube and we weren't able to upload it to see our lovely faces. So we are back. Episode 30 was really a milestone, and that's a nice little segue into something we're going to talk about later, but a nice little milestone for us. We hit 30 episodes. Unfortunately, we don't get the video version of it, but 31, all right? We turn the page on 30. We're on to 31 now. 50 is our next big milestone, almost a year. Dude, let me know what you've been up to this last weekend.
Dude, I am learning. I'm ill-equipped to be a grown man in the world. What I mean by that is I can provide for my family. Sure. Dealing with anything outside, whether it comes to, you know, just like the lawn care and all that stuff, dude, it's so much work.
Dude. I got to stop you here because this has been me and my wife's battle ever since I kind of like somewhat made it on Twitch and YouTube. Like, I won't do a dish, but I'll go and try and make $500 so that I don't have to do the dish.
I get that.
I would rather spend 5 hours and not do any sort of like very easy chore, even though I definitely should. So I am in complete agreement with you. I'm assuming you feel the same way I do, that you wish that you could do a little bit more.
Yeah, it's that stuff. And honestly, like growing up, I didn't learn, like, you know, whenever it comes to like handy stuff, right? You know, same. Fixing things and all that, like. I didn't have a dad, right? So like some of that stuff, like right. I just, dude, like I'm just gonna be honest, like I didn't learn, like, and I played a lot of video games growing up because like my grandmother was working a lot, so like all that stuff I just never learned. And trying to learn that at an older age, watching YouTube and stuff, like I've gotten better over the last like 5 years since my wife and I have been living together, but it's still hard. And I just my brain isn't wired to think that way, right? So it's like rewiring my brain as an adult to learn that stuff and prioritize that stuff. So dude, it's just an uphill battle, you know?
Dude, so like I have like a same situation, man. I played video games my whole life, and then when you got to high school in Canada, it's like you have to make these like drastic choices in high school. Either you're gonna go into tech or you're gonna go into like shop. And like it happens in grade 9. So you walk in and it's like, all right, you're going to go to auto or are you going to go to business? And like, I chose business, and every tech class, every video editing class that I possibly could went like on like the old Mac, like pastel Macs. Like, that's all I did. Very little like handy stuff. And it's definitely sucked as I got older. But I'm of the mindset that I would rather pay someone than learn it myself at this age.
Dude, it's just boring.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I don't find it exactly. Dude, one of my closest friends, though, literally flips houses as his hobby. So it's you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of, I use him as a, like, you know, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I need, you know, like something's broken or whatever. Right. It kind of sucks that, you know, don't do it myself, but I could care less. Like, I'd rather just pay, you know, but I feel you.
Yeah. That's what I would rather do too, because it's like, yeah, and like I realized, you know, younger too, like I'm never going to be able to do these things. Like, so I went into accounting and finance, right? Yep. Like, I'm never, I'm just not, I still have to learn some things in case something like blows up and the handyman can't get here within 2 hours.
Yeah, the handyman, but, no, the handyman's all about making jokes until it comes to tax time. And you're like, let's go to work.
Exactly.
Dude, speaking of taxes, I think I just found my accountant finally. Gah. Self-employed taxes is just,
well, who's dude, the I'm, accountant?
So I had to call around.
Yeah.
Because so in Canada, taxes are actually due like April or May 1st, I believe, is the deadline. But self-employed, you have until June 15th. Last year, I went to like a friend of a friend. And this year, I'm like, it was like sketchy, but great job. I was worried, but like on the deadline day of June 15th, she's like, bam, everything was there. Everything was done correctly. It was awesome. It sucked. Being self-employed, paying taxes is the worst because it's like you get all of your money up front and then it's like, oh, you better save 20-30% of your toast come tax time. And I like didn't.
So, yeah, because it's like it was probably your biggest year yet. You're like, oh, dude, I'm huge. It don't matter. This will keep coming in.
Yeah, it's all right. Then it's like summertime, NHL's dead. And you're like, oh, here's a check for like, you know, I'm gonna need that like 10 grand, 15 grand real quick. It's like, because like I file with my wife too, right? So it's like hers are included too. Yeah. So this year I wanted to find like an accountant, but the subathon has literally lasted like a month and a half that like I thought it would end and then I would have time to do it. And now I'm like running out of time. So I'm like, all right. So I'm literally calling around muted on stream, but I think I found someone. Apparently, I tried to explain what I do and the guy starts laughing. He's like, well, we have a Twitch streamer as a client. I'm like, perfect. You're my accountant. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I go and meet with them on Monday and then I go to a dark place and just figure out what the bill is. But self-employed is it's very like there's a lot to it. Like there is a lot to it to figure out what you can write off, when you can write it off. Like do you stay unincorporated? Because like something that I've wondered is like, should I make an LLC? A lot of people are like, make yourself a company. But then if you do that, you pay, your company pays tax and then you have to pay tax. The company just pays much less. But mm-hmm. you as an employee of that company would have to, like you would pay yourself. I would still have to pay the normal tax rate. So it's like, it's not as cut and dry as some other, you know, industries might be, but I'm excited.
Well, I was thinking, so I saw somebody, one of the NHL content creators, had a tweet today. It was some, you know, like how being a full-time content creator is like really difficult, like whatever, like there's more detail, but I think I know, and it's nothing negative. I always thought a good business and I'm sure it's offered, but there should be specific, like and it'd be like a self-employed somebody, financial experts for streamers or something, right? Specifically for that. It's a very niche requirement, or obviously, right? Because how many full-time content creators are there? But if there's somebody that fully understood the industry and what's best for each person, and maybe even if they offered services like budgeting or like finding areas where they should probably live and stuff like that, I think that'd be a very niche business. But probably if you're just like a self-employed finance person, could be profitable.
Don, right? Did we just like stumble upon what you should be doing?
No, probably
that
not.
That sounds like a self-employed. You would create. So, okay. So for anyone that doesn't know, like, or everyone that files their taxes, I'm sure our audience is a little older, but like you set up the initial book, right? Like the template, and then that creator inputs, like, I feel like it'd be pretty simple.
Here's the thing. It's very simple because anybody that, you know, that's good at like budgeting or whatever would know how to do it themselves.
Creators are not
I know, right? But I'm surprised. But I come from that like finance first like aspect, right? But it's like, you know, well, what's your lowest month's revenue? Like, what are your bad months? That should probably be the max, your max means that you're living within. But I think these people could also provide like services where, you know, these specific areas are probably areas that you should move to. Maybe it's lower tax rates. Maybe it's an area in Florida that has a low cost of living. You know, wipe away this, like get rid of your car, like take an Uber if you're down there, right? Like stuff like that. But
dude, I think you would be good at that. Like I low key think that, like, I didn't even put two and two together, but like, dude, like I feel like you could easily do that as like a side business, like a hustle.
Maybe, dude. I feel like I have enough. Like,
I know, also, no. But I mean one that you could turn into like
a thing,
like a thing, dude. I would pay you. I'll be upfront. I would pay you $1,000 to do my taxes where I wouldn't have to think about it.
Yeah, I know. And I, so whenever I was in college, I think it was my junior year, I had a tax internship at like a CPA firm.
Yep.
And it was like just it was doing tax, like personal taxes for people. Right. And I wanted to kill myself. I hated it. There were some interesting clients. Like we had like somebody that worked in the NFL, but it's like, you know, doing the taxes for them. It's like, oh, the away games are taxed separately wherever they played the away game. And it's a lot of work. And I think I don't have that expertise. Like I'm more in like the company side. Right. So like that's very it's very difficult. Maybe I partner with a tax guy. Right.
Like in the States, I guess it'd be far more difficult. I was blown away to realize how much the United States is sectioned off from it. So like I'll give you an example. In Canada, like obviously all the provinces have different laws and regulations and things like that. But for the majority, like there isn't a lot different province to province and like on a federal level. There's a lot of things that are just uniform across the board. Whereas like, dude, you pay like different taxes in like different counties and stuff.
Dude, it's
mind boggling.
I mean, it's topical, right? It's topical. I guess it's like kind of, I don't know. I don't think it's bad to bring up, but like it's, you know, leaked that a major law is being overturned right in the United States with like Roe v. Wade with the abortion thing.
Yep.
That you would think is a basic human right in this country, even though only like probably 5% would be in favor of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's going to apply all across the board. And then all of a sudden you're going to have 22 or 26 states that are changing this now. Right. So like state to state, things are it's just crazy here. It's just it makes no sense to me.
Like that's what I'm saying. So like even just like taxes alone, right? Like so for example, a lot of people in the industry like that are content creators move to Florida. Their internet infrastructure, which sounds dumb, but their internet infrastructure is amazing. Their cost of living is low in comparison to other warm states, and then in warmer states, and they have no taxes, like no state tax. Like those are all huge bonuses for creators. Like especially ones that live in Canada. The only benefit in Canada is you get paid in American, and you don't pay taxes twice because Canada and the U.S. have a tax treaty where you only pay tax once. You know, if you pay tax in the U.S., you don't pay tax in Canada, and vice versa. So I don't know. I think that it's just it's crazy. I didn't realize like how different it was. Right. So pretty crazy there. All right. I guess we talk about NHL.
What's going on in NHL?
Well, we're down. The draft happened, my man. You know?
Yes, it did.
The draft happened, and pretty interesting. So I got to do a stream of the draft, which I thought was pretty cool. They let me just basically show all of the picks as they were going on. And this year it was 16 people, 16 players. Usually it's eight. When they get to the draft aspect, it's the final eight players. And the player pool is very reduced. This year they did all 16. Four separate consoles, so four on each console. It doesn't matter. Like, the players will have this team all the way to Montreal. So with 16 players, the player pool is like, it dries up pretty quick. No one has a stacked team all the way through. It's very versus oriented, and it's very even, which is great. This is where it becomes a really, really good tournament in terms of just even across the board, and there's some individuality because people got to draft these teams, so like there's stories to it. Gren gets the 101 and takes McDavid, and then McKinnon next, and then I believe it was Crosby to uninstall. We saw Polgs get Polgs drafted second, and in the second round Price made it all the way back, so Polgs, who is a favorite to win, got McKinnon and Price,
and he gets that patented or coveted post to post, which is going to be nice.
Dude, one thing I want to focus on is like Junior Pence, a veteran, been in every single GWC. Did you see his team?
I have the draft list pulled up now, so I'm looking at his team.
You knew a Junior Pence team was going to be ridiculous and very, in all intents and purposes, dumb, because he is just way too hyper focused on like different things. Dude went completely against every single thing he's done in the history of playing this game. He went all, for the most part, small players that are fast. It's like he watched your 2013 video about like the Sharks being the best team.
Yeah, right?
And he's like, oh, that's it. And
I'm looking at his team now. Yeah, like so Roman Josi, Quinn Hughes on defense. TJ Brody, he's always small but quick. Kadri, I guess he doesn't count, but Gaudreau. Max Domi. But even
Kadri's only 6 foot.
Yeah, he's not giant.
It's wild. And
Connor Sheary. I like the Connor Sheary.
I believe three of his centers have Thief as well.
Okay.
So that would be another bonus for him there. Faceoffs are pretty important in this. There isn't a lot of players that have a lot of faceoff rating, I guess, even though I don't think it's at this level, it is important because everyone knows the counters and things like that. But yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. I believe the first night of the tournament is the 11th. 14th, sorry, next Saturday. It'll be interesting to see the matchups are, and because now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. We're finding out each console and who is going to go to Montreal, two of the four remaining on each console. And it's the first LAN championship since 2019. So definitely excited to see how that goes. I know you're looking at the team, Rick. Does any of the teams stand out to you?
Yeah, there was. Let me pull this back up. Yeah. I really liked, where is he? Sorry, there's a team I was looking at, and I was like, oh, okay, it figures. So Regs kind of looks like he was like, I don't care about defense.
Yeah.
And he might have the best forward group. So yep. Kucherov, Patrick Kane, JT Miller, DeBrincat, Kevin Hayes, Brandon Saad, who always, I think, plays well in the game. Gren obviously has a good team, in my opinion. I think most of the teams are even, right?
Yeah, they are pretty even.
With
yeah.
just how it is.
Crosby, I believe, took like best available. He went Marchand at one point pretty early. Jost is the only one who had to auto pick. He didn't like he took more than 2 minutes and he got Mark Stone.
Oh, and that sucks because he's the slowest player in the game.
It sucks. It sucks that Mark Stone is not really usable, but he is just real. So I guarantee you, he's gonna pot a hat trick or something every game. Something hilarious is gonna work like that.
I like Sapp's team a lot too because
Sapp is a good team.
He picked the goalie I did last year, Aiden Hill, who I think is he might be the best goalie in this draft that's not Price and Markstrom.
Got to meet him in real life. Nice guy.
Yeah, exactly. Just because of his height, right?
Yep.
He has speed on defense, but then he also has Tyler Myers. And then he has a Draisaitl pick that he got fifth overall. Kasperi Kapanen. So I don't know. It's exciting. Wish I could have been a part of it. I also wish that there was this strategy, team build stuff just in HUT already where you could use even teams like this. So, yeah.
I did a video fixing HUT content, and I didn't think it would be as long as it was because HUT content for the most part has been half decent. I'm not talking about the modes and how you acquire it. I'm talking about just the cards themselves. Ended up being pretty long. Just the main points of it were X-Factor cards. I think there should only be about 20 of them, and they should be the elite of the elite. And I think that to try and make them sought after all year round, whenever they get a new card and it has a different X-Factor ability or superstar ability, it now becomes a choice. So Austin Matthews, he has shock and awe. That was a really bad ability in terms of gameplay, really. Unless you're but it made sense. Right. It makes sense. But at some point, if he got gold 1T and you'd rather have that, you can hit square on the shock and awe and it would change. You could change it to whatever the other options were. I think that would really add a lot of longevity to it. I think another really good option, get rid of prime times, just completely get them out of the game. There's so many. It's so redundant. No one really cares about any. The only reason prime times are important, especially with four consoles, but is because it's did my card upgrade? Did I unlock that new tier? That was it. So I'd like to see moments, whereas maybe two maybe cards or one card a night gets a banner that has the moments stuff that explains why he's got a moments card. That'd be huge. But I think that team builder should expand and you have to collect every card. What it was early on in I think NHL 18, where Chris Neal cost 90,000 coins because it was hard to get that Wade Redden. But I'm okay with that if your cards aren't taken away. They just become untradeable. So example I use, it should be tiered a lot like MLB. Let's use the Edmonton Oilers, for example. You got to collect Leon and McDavid. McDavid at launch is going to be 200,000 coins. Okay. So the reward should be a 91 Mark Messier, but you don't lose your Connor McDavid base card.
Yeah, you can still keep them untradeable. Exactly. Can't get anything for it. Exactly. Kind of how MLB collections works, but yeah.
That's exactly it, right? And then that would keep make cards much more valuable throughout the whole year. Like, so in you know, to balance that out, like, let's say Mark Messier is a 91 or a 92 if you collect all the Edmonton Oilers. Let's say the Seattle Kraken, you collect all the Seattle Kraken, much lower ratings. Like, I think the highest probably would be Jared McCann, and he's going to be like, an 84 or 83 maybe. You collect the entire Seattle Kraken, you get an 85 overall DeMarc Giordano.
Yeah.
Like that, you know what I mean? It should be tiered like that. Then you collect all of the Western Conference, and you get the Wayne Gretzky. You collect all the Eastern Conference, you get Mario Lemieux at 99, and it can happen day one.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. I the one thing I liked about what you said was making the X Factor pool smaller. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to somebody about this recently, and I think X Factors, you should be able to get the cards, right? But I think at the beginning of the year, my idea for this was like, you can choose any of the X Factor cards that you want. Maybe get like one or two of them, and they can upgrade to the max right away. But instead of them being upgraded through like X Factor collectibles or purchasing with coins, they're only upgradable through playing with that player type or that player card.
Should
right?
be like that. I think it should be. I think there should be an option to pay, because I do think you allowing people to pay. A big misconception is that people are pay to win, but I think that what a lot of people don't realize is that like a lot of people don't have 10 hours to grind with a card. Allowing people that value money or time over money. I value time over money. Like even outside, let's pretend I wasn't a content creator.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
I would rather pay than play 7 hours to get a free card. Right. I also appreciate while giving the option to get the free card is huge, because people don't have access to expendable money, especially kids. Right. They don't. So giving the option to do that, that would be huge. I think that all of the cards should have that, where like you can upgrade via scoring with them, and that gives you a reduced cost, or you can, you know, do it the same way that it's been done. I think either of those options would be good. But yeah, I think that you need to reduce the player pool by a ton. The other thing I would love to see is if a card gets, I think that they should remove or alter team of the week. Team of the week needs to stay in there in the way that it is because of squad battles. And like you have that weekly, whatever. I think that it should be six players from each league. So six players from the NHL. So they're six like banger, like guys that had amazing runs at each position. Then have one for the EU leagues, like where it's like, you know, the six best players from all the EU leagues, one from the CHL, like the OHL, WHL, and whatever, and then one from the AHL. That would give you your four lines. Okay. And then at the end of the month, you've got a Stars of the Month card. And that Star of the Month card, let's say it's Chris Kreider, gets an X Factor card.
Okay.
And now so for the remainder of the year, he's got, because that's what's the issue was that Chris Kreider was more of an X Factor than Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Like Goudreau at 100-point season, not an X Factor. You know, like the X Factor should be able to come out throughout the year because it's going to make it a lot more. And I think that like every month have one or maybe even two become available would be huge. I think that would definitely freshen up content. I think that would be a really good way to kind of help that out.
Part of me thinking that they should just be easily gotten. And obviously a lot of people would have them if there was like a path like through playing to get them to 99. I think there should only be like a max of three on a team at a time.
I don't think you necessarily need to like even go that far, but I see what you're saying, like Tampa.
Yeah. I mean a max on your hut team.
Oh, on your hut team, you can only use three.
Yeah.
I think that the issue I have with that is that there needs to be a main mode, like Rivals needs to allow any card.
Okay.
I think that because like, you know what I mean? Like if someone goes all out, grinds the game, but can only use three, the same three are going to be used no matter what.
You're right.
So I think that like Rivals needs to be all out, whatever sort of squad battles. But I think for Hut Champs, Hut Champs should have an overall cap. Like not like
I think
a
it
hard
should
cap.
Be. I think it should be brackets. I don't think it should be like an overall cap. It should be like, you know,
89 overall team.
Yeah, I was thinking like three people in the 90 to the 95 range. Six players in like 85 to 89, and then the rest of your team can just be filled out.
I think that's constrictive though, because a lot of people might not have that certain tier. I'm thinking launch of the game, right?
No, watch, it can be you know, edited throughout, yeah. But like, I think here's the thing, you can just circumvent that with the like,
not necessarily, bro. You make it 87 and you don't include the backup goaltender, like, you can take, I'm sure the EA can take that out of the equation. Like,
it doesn't work with the gameplay, I'm telling you, because you would still have your third pairing defense that's never out there, right?
I guess
so. You can have bronze overall defensemen and they're out there for 1 minute a game. Like,
I guess that's true. I think that it would still be better than what we've got.
It would be better than what we have, but it'd just be like circumvention, because you'd have two, because they used to have that like salary cap type thing in Hunt, and people would just load up on their first two lines with like 99 players.
I mean, that's what they should. I mean, okay, I see what you're saying though. So to get around that as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's, and it mimics, and I think the thing is, like, they can use those same restrictions because they're in the game in GWC qualifiers, because it's only in Hot Champs, and then that'll replicate it in Hot Champs. Mm-hmm. There's nobody complaining late in the year that it's a cash grab and it's like pay to win, because it's like everybody's on the even playing field.
Yeah, I agree. That would be huge. Definitely enjoy that. All right, what else do we want to talk about?
Was there an event or something?
Oh, like, a leaked event. So usually it's just the playoffs all year or summer long until the playoffs are over, which sucks. It kind of like signifies like the end. Randomly today we got an announcement that we're getting a milestone event. Patrick Marleau's master set was really announced that for the most games played. Really cool card art, and I'm glad they're still doing events.
Yeah,
that's, you know, good. I think that's cool. I think it's, this one is a cool event. We'll see. I hope it's a lot of alumni. I would like to see like a lot of an alumni for an event. I really hope that the master set selection just gets better next year. I have a feeling
I hope there's like less, like, I don't know, less, but like going from this to MLB, dude, there's so many cards in NHL.
That it's, there's like, so many, bro. It's not even close. The NHL releases, I would say, 8 times more content than MLB, but how much throughout the year, how much content that's released after all of the base stuff that's at launch of the game do you think is usable for someone that plays the game all year round?
For me, it was 1 to less than 1%. For somebody that plays year round that isn't the type of player that I am, probably 3 to 5%. Do you think that's fair?
I think it might be a little bit higher because every master set item. But I mean, there were times where
like 6 master sets came out, and I'm like, all of these I wouldn't even use on my fourth line.
I guess just that's
because
true.
Like I didn't like the player build or something.
And
right?
Then all of the event cards, there's probably like one that's like, you know.
There was that Peter Forsberg that came out with Gold Quick Draw.
Yeah,
that
I
was like,
that.
Oh, this card's cool.
Yeah, but other than that, yeah, like there just hasn't been anything.
All of the event cards that aren't MSPs usually aren't good,
except for the launch of the game and like the first 2 months, maybe, or like month, maybe. Yeah,
yeah.
Like they're just not. Like it's just it'll be interesting to see what they do with content. I think that
I have high hopes for the people that are there, and you know, them having like a year under their belt, having a full year going forward. I think it'll be an improvement. I don't know, you know, will it be night and day? I don't know.
Until there's a cross market, like the market is what is absolutely demolished because of the 4 consoles.
Yeah.
Because there's no cards available. So you like, I joked around with Hawk today because that Marlowe's coming out. I'm like, all right, let me see what a Sharks theme team would look like. And it's funny because everyone's like, ah, dude, the Sharks got like 5 master items. Sweet. But the rest of their cards, there's like nobody. And I don't. Okay. And that makes sense because the Sharks weren't very good at all. Right. So I was like, all right, like, let's go see. What does a Timo Meier team of the season cost? I'm on PS5, mind you. I'm not even on the dead console, like on Xbox. Dude, none up. I go and look at Mark Edward Vlasic and his social showdown card, because he would be on my theme team. None up. I go to Hawk. I'm like, dude, I will trade in my first line of 99 McDavid, Matthews, and McKinnon. I will quick sell them live on stream if you go and get me a list of like the crappy Sharks cards that are just not obtainable.
Yeah.
But like, I have that like I have that ability because of, like, you know, I'm a creator, right? And obviously, I'm not someone who'd be like, oh, I'm going to need all those cards, please. Like I said, I would on stream delete the three most expensive cards in the game to acquire that. But people don't have that option. Yep. So if you wanted to make a Sharks team, you're just SOL. Like, there's no, you're never going to find the card on the market, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I cross market be huge. FIFA just announced their playtest will have cross console in it.
Is that for the playtest for 23? I thought they were putting that in 22.
Maybe I'm wrong and read it wrong. I just know it's a playtest. Okay. You're able to playtest FIFA's cross console. So NHL always gets the features last, but I would be blown away if EA, I'm assuming EA Sports made a gigantic push to all of its developers that every sports game, and not just sports game, every game needs to be cross console.
Yeah, it should be the norm now.
Yeah. And especially because MLB did it. And MLB's taking it on the chin right now. I'm not going to lie. As a casual, it's so funny, bro, seeing a game as a through a casual, like a, not a casual, but non-competitive player. I have very little complaints. Because I don't know the game at its finest level of what it should be, right? I'm like, oh, I missed this hit because I suck, right? Where, man, dude, the top content creators and the people that are really down on this game, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, it kind of makes sense. Like, they seem to be in a year where they lowered overalls, okay? So last year, you didn't play, but at, you know, the Face of the Franchise program that came out?
That was the first one, right?
Yeah, there was every team had a 90 overall card. Okay, that you could acquire. You could only get 12 of them for free, but then you could get any card you want by buying them. Last year, Team Affinity was, I think it was like 91s or maybe 92s. I don't remember, but like every, you could get every single card for free by grinding out the Team Affinity. But even worse was the Star of the Month card was a Byron Buxton. They have a Lightning card where it's like the Player of the Month got a nine. He was a 96 overall Byron Buxton. This year, 91 or 92 Rizzo. And the overalls are so much lower. And I think that in the All-Star game last year, I remember this specifically, Team Affinity 2 came out, all the All-Star cards, it was like 97 to 99s. And for every team. And it was like, that's a little much. And then you're at 99 for the entire game from that point on, halfway through the season. And I can see the downfall to that. The plus is that, oh my God, everyone has access to these great teams. Right.
Yeah.
The downfall is that, like, now they can't release content unless it's like a 99. And that's like lame, I guess. So this year's like a transition year. They're like making things worse in the aspect of the consumer. But for the overall game, I think it's better.
OK.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it will be better.
I wanted to ask you about that because I'm glad you brought it up, because I read, like, you know, random things and I see a lot of the, like, I guess, like you would say, top players on MLB saying the game sucks, like, oh, it's all random and stuff, and then also complaining about the content. I haven't played that much. I play here and there, and whenever I play, I enjoy it because I'm playing it from, like, the lowest level.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's really fun. I'm blown away because I know what's on the other side from EA. Like, I compare everything because I'm playing both, and I'll take all the problems with MLB. I'll take them all. I will, too. Like, I'll take them all.
It's so much fun, right?
It is, man.
Like, I was trying to think, because I was doing, is it showdown mode where you, like...
It's hard, but yeah.
Is that the one where you, like, have to do, like, the mini moments and then face off against the boss?
Yep.
So here's how I think it would work in NHL. Are you ready for this?
Lay it on me, dude.
They already have practice mode in the game, right?
Yeah.
So those act as the moments. Kay. So you have, like, the final boss would be Carey Price, okay? Okay. But one of the moments is like Connor McDavid scoring on him. Mm-hmm. So all they got to do is you take a 2-on-1 and you have 10 attempts and you have to score 5 of them. 2-on-1 against with like Leon Draisaitl against Carey Price or something, right? And they have the moments. Maybe it's like defending like a 3-on-2 or something, or not allowing a shot. But the practice mode is already in the game, so you can have those moments in there with practice mode. It's just reframing it a little bit.
Or maybe you have a really power play.
Maybe you have a power play, maybe you have something else. Like, there's other things, and it wouldn't be over quick because I think you'd have a set amount, right? So, like, you have like 10 attempts or 15 attempts. You just frame it that way.
That would be pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. That would be pretty sick. I would love just moments. Like, I would love player locked moments.
Yeah.
We have Be a Pro. just player lock a moment. And, you know, like Austin Matthews scoring four goals in his debut game. Have the Leafs against the Ottawa Senators. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to put like specific rosters or like that. Maybe yeah, put the no, jerseys
you don't
on.
Even have to score the four goals, because in MLB, it's just like score a goal with him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes it a little bit easier, right? It's like score the fourth goal and then you're in the third period and maybe it's on rookie. And like, that's just like a starting one, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you get it, it's over. And if you don't get it, it restarts, you can restart immediately. But that would be pretty sweet. Like, I just don't, I think that that requires a lot of resources. I would love a year dedicated to just moments. Like, yeah. Adding the ability to put moments in, like coding in so that they could then implement moments throughout the year. I would take that just for over any offline content you possibly could come up with. Squad battles, I don't care. Like, mm-hmm. if the, nothing changes but the moments happen, I wouldn't even be that. I would, like, that would be more offline content than, like, anything. And you could give specific rewards to it. Like, it just would be, it'd be, I think it's the one way NHL has not been played.
Like, not since the two generations ago where they had, like,
the moments
pre-created, like, 25 of them. They had, like, 25 or 30 moments, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think that, like, you player lock a guy and you play a be a pro style game. Maybe you got to come off the bench, you know, like maybe you got to go on the bench and it simulates the time. Give me that. Like, I always use Sam Gagner's 8 points in a game as an example.
Yeah.
Like, you're Sam Gagner, you got to, if you're on the Oilers and you got to score 8 points, like, give me that. That'd be so sick. But alas,
I was proud of myself a few days ago because I was playing BR mode.
Yeah.
And I got up to 4 or 5 wins and I was like, that's great. I haven't gotten that high yet. Cause I usually, like, I went through a period where I lost like 10 to 15 games in a row. Just because, like, I never played a baseball game and I'm not used to playing, and I'm enjoying the fact that I'm having fun and I'm bad at it, because I usually don't do that. Like, whenever I'm bad at something, unless I'm like extremely passionate about it, I'm like, this sucks, I'm not doing it. But I'm bad at this and I'm trying to get better.
I am in the middle ground. Because when I lose to players I know I should beat, I get really frustrated. But the problem is, in NHL, you can play when you're not patient. Like, you can play when you're impatient and still win. You know what I mean? You can chase, but you can when you are impatient and down bad in MLB, you have to log off for the night. And because I can't, there's been times where, like, I'll chase every pitch out of the zone, even when I'm saying, we'll take a few pitches here. I'm like, nah, this one's going to dead left. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. This guy could throw it into the dirt and I'm going to try and send it to outer space. Like, so, but yeah, like, it's so, I like that aspect because you're trying to get better at it for sure. I think that's really fun.
Dude, I don't get how people are so good at reading pitches. Like, there's like a, and these people are, like, shitty too compared to, like, probably the people that you're playing, but I'm still like, how are they hitting, like, everything, and how do they know, like, if I do one pitch in the zone, it's like a home run?
So,
you know?
when I play ranked now, something that I think I do well and something I enjoy about it is that for the first inning or two, I legitimately will just take the two strikes and see as many pitches as I possibly can. And what I'll try and pay attention to is the first pitch they do on two strikes. And if it happens again in multiple at bats, because I know at some point that pitch is coming, regardless of when it is in the count. And when I'm playing someone good, I just beat someone who was like 18-2. I beat Cooks, one of the best players, like, you know, like on in the game over the last like few years. I literally played him in the G Fuel tournament and I was like, okay, he gave me a pitch sinker at my feet, which I would have no shot of just like trying to react to hit. I would never. So the entire at bat, he could have struck me out by throwing right down the middle and I would have looked like an idiot, but he gave me a sinker at my feet and I was able to smash it out because you can just sit like that. And I like the thought aspect of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because then you play people that are really good at pitching and not just locating their pitches, but like the methodology. For example, like what I'll do when I'm on and I'm doing well at pitching, I'll look at if someone is not swinging at a strike, I know that they're sitting a pitch. Like they are looking for something and I just won't give it to them. Like if someone is sitting a fastball for Aroldis Chapman, I will go 8 pitches in a row throwing a splitter or a slider because I know that he is just sitting that one pitch. And there's times where I will literally streaming and I'll be in a game and I'll be like, I'm not going to strike this guy. I got to give him this pitch. And it's a home run. Like, I've done it on stream where I'm like, I got to throw this fastball or I'm not going to strike him out. I'm going to throw it. And I throw it and it's immediately gone. And I'm just like, oh my God. And that's what makes players good. There's a very, very good strategy. And I don't think people realize the amount of strategy. Because I think there's very few people in the world that can play this game like on Hall of Fame or Legend and fully react. Like not sit a pitch or certain pitches.
And it's weird because like sometimes playing like the bad players I'm playing against, like I know like, oh, this is going to be there. And like, I just don't have the muscle memory or like the reflexes with my thumb in that action to react correctly. And that's my biggest frustration is like mentally, I know what to do. I'm just not used to doing it yet.
Yeah, huge. Like there is a big disconnect to getting your hand to work the way that your brain wants you to, especially when it's like trying to lay off pitches.
Yeah.
The slider away, bro. Like it'll just eat me up every time, no matter what. It's brutal.
Yep.
I agree. You watch any of the playoffs yet?
Dude, so besides the paying ones, I try to watch the highlights, like just like the goals that are posted on Reddit and stuff.
Mm-hmm. You should watch my top five goals of the night. I'm actually doing it in the morning. It's actually gone pretty well.
Oh, okay. I take the top five goals. That's on YouTube?
Yeah.
It's on the old tube. Okay.
Every morning I do it.
That Penguins game was so stressful. Oh,
I can only imagine, bro. I miss being in that as a fan. Like three overtime games are you're mentally exhausted by the end of it.
Yeah, I am extremely relieved they won. I was following along. So Nip and Biscuits went to the game, right?
he made me want the Raiders to lose so badly.
I was so hoping they would lose, not because I'm a Penguins fan, just so he would be like up. First off, he posted these videos, OK, of him like talking about the game. And like I've been over 100 Penguins games. I've never been to a game where it's like pitch black. So wherever he was, like, I don't know if he was literally on the roof of the arena, but it's like pitch black in MSG.
MSG is poorly lit, I think, just as a whole. Okay. Like when you look at the building, I think the roof is like brown or something. Like I've never been to MSG, but I know like just like the aspect of how the building looks inside. Yeah. And it has the same thing that the Leafs do. So I don't know if it was built for hockey. I don't know that again. As a Rangers fans, I apologize. Not have been. Yeah, but if you look, I can tell you from the Maple Leafs perspective, on one of the sides of the arena, it was not built for the Leafs; it was built for the Raptors. There's the press box, and the seats go up behind it, so you can see down on the ice, but you can't see directly across the arena.
Hmm.
So that's like the cheapest the seats in the house for the Leafs games. Like what all the normies can go to. Like that's where you sit really at a Leafs game. It looked like, because one of his videos, it showed like the press box. I could see the back of the press box and then I could see down below. And I was like, OK, like, so that's why he was so darkly lit.
Dude, I was thinking about is whenever they won, I was like, how miserable is that like subway ride or whatever with all those sweaty Rangers fans? Just, you know, imagine? With their thick accents, like it should have been a goal. I don't know how they talk, but like, you know, there's a goal. They got waved off like they were so mad.
Dude, like imagine sitting through that, because like, you're just, when you're at a game, a playoff game, I don't know if you've ever been to a playoff game.
I think I'm going to go on Monday as well with Nippon and David.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
All right, that's dope. I've been to like a Leafs playoff game, multiple Sabre playoff games, showing my age a little bit here. It's the atmosphere is nuts. So I can't even imagine like triple overtime just sitting there like, because like you want the experience, like that's what's on the line. Being able to say I was at a triple overtime game when the Rangers won, and like, dude, like there's nothing quite like an arena in the playoffs. So I've really enjoyed the Leafs games just because I am a Leafs fan to an extent. Like I grew up a Leafs fan, and I really want to see my dad see a cup again in his lifetime. But since the Sharks are out, I have no really horse in the race. Watching that from an outsider perspective, so not really down and out if they lose, but like I like seeing them win. Pretty balanced series so far, but man, like it's been pretty good, man. I don't know if I've been this excited for playoff hockey in quite some time, and I'm wondering if it's because of COVID and like the.
I think it's that it's been like the first like full regular season, right? And it's kind of nice that it's going. I know it's like later, but it's like it's nice. You have like this full summer of playoff hockey.
Right. Yeah, and I think the experience watching it on TV, too. Like, no fans, even on TV, was rough. Like,
dude, it was weird, especially that first, like, that bubble.
Yeah.
It was the strangest thing.
Yeah, so I've really enjoyed that, like, the full house.
I can't, so, I'm a pretty neutral, like, Penguins fan. Like, I love the Penguins, but, like, I don't hate teams.
Yeah.
But there are teams I'll root against, and it's only because of the fans. And, like, the Leafs are always one of them. Mm-hmm. So, like, you mentioned, like, your dad, and, like, I think that'd be great if the Leafs won. For people like that, it's just like my bubble's small. So whenever I go on Twitter and I see like them declaring that the Leafs are going to win the cup after like game one, it's like, oh, I hope they lose now, you know.
I pride myself on being an unbiased sports fan.
Yeah,
I me too. Really I do like too. Yeah. Okay, good. Like, so I like to have realistic conversations about a team. I'll use the Rangers as an example. People flamed me because I said that they were carried to the playoffs by Shesterkin.
I think that was a fact.
Yeah, if game one was not a microcosm of that, like he had to make 80 saves and the Rangers couldn't beat Louis Domingue. So, you know, like, not that they're a bad team. I think that the Rangers will be the best team in the Eastern Conference in, like, if Kaapo Kakko and Lafreniere become legitimately top six forwards, as well as some of their other players as well. But I think they'll be a really, really good team in the Eastern Conference. Just not yet. I think they were early. Shesterkin's going to be the best goaltender in the NHL. Just give it a season or two. That being said, Leafs fans, here's how I view Leafs fans, because I've grown up around them my whole life. I will say they're infuriating when they are doing well, because it's playing the parade. Like, they could win a random game on a Tuesday in December, playing the parade. The reason why I don't think they are the worst fan base, if you are not a fan of the Leafs, is because when they lose, dude, they go off of the edge. Like, it could be a preseason L in August, and it's Marner needs to go. You know, you gotta trade Tavares. You know, Nylander's washed. You know, it's wild. So while I think that it's awful when they're winning, it's hilarious when they're losing. So
yeah, it is. And it's always an overreaction, 100%. Especially with like the fire, like their GM stuff, because like they've built such a good team there. And I always think it's an overreaction because I think they have a legitimate chance to win the Stanley Cup and they're an amazing team. And if they don't, right? Because like let's say the extreme happens and they lose to Tampa in like 6 or 7 games. I don't think it means that the GM should be fired or the coach or whatever. It's just they went up against a team that just won 2 cups in a row and they lost to an amazing team in a league that's hard to win the Stanley Cup.
I say this a lot. Hockey requires more luck than any other sport to win its championship. Just how the game is played. Like, you know, like you have a shot, it's 100 miles an hour. If it doesn't tip off a stick, off a shin pad and in the net, like that happens throughout every run. But, you know, you make your own luck to an extent. The Leafs, the Montreal thing is brutal, losing to Montreal last year. However, had Tavares not had that freak injury, it's probably over in 4.
Yeah.
And then every other year other than that, they, because of the playoff format, dude, they're going up against 100-point teams in the first round. Teams that would probably make it to the conference final in the West, because the West is so weak now. So it's just bad timing. I've said this as a Sharks fan throughout 15 years of them making the playoffs, and they weren't chokers in the sense that they couldn't get out of the first round. It was always the second or third round, or even the finals, when it was the Sharks. But every year it was like, dude, you got to get rid of Marlowe and Thornton, or you know, or Brent Burns. Like, they got to move. It's like, you can't, because you will lose any deal you make. And Moneyball said it, like Billy Beane said it best, man. GM's job is to get them to the playoffs, set them up success to make it to the playoffs. Once you're in there, you know, let fate be fate. And obviously you can give your team better advantage in the playoffs for sure. But really, like, it's such a brutal sport to try and navigate luck and go on those magical runs. I'll say this, another good example to back that up. If the Boston Bruins lose that game 7 against Vancouver, how different do people view the Boston Bruins?
Oh, 100%. Like,
it's wild.
And people never think about that context just because it's like, if the, you know, Washington Capitals were probably the best team in the league for 3 or 4 times before they actually won the cup. It just sucks that the years that they were, they went up against, you know, some amazing Crosby. Penguins teams. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's, and that happens a lot. Or they run into, I think it was the 1 year is Yaroslav Halak, that it went 7 games, who just so happened to have one of the best playoff series of all time. And then that, you know, that goalie, that Canadiens team eliminated the Penguins next, right? So it happens a lot, and people never just think about it that way. But, like, I think Boston's the best example because They won game seven, what, 1-0 or 2-0?
I believe it was very, very low. Yeah. And like, if they don't win that, bro, like they are not viewed as a success over. Dude, the worst is the Blues, because I always use this as an example, too. Is like the Blues were a miserable team from like 2004 on, like miserable. They had a few playoff runs, but their runs were usually over in the first round. And then the majority of the time they didn't make the playoffs. If they don't win that cup, like, everyone just forgets about it. And they should, because they won a championship, right? It's tough, though. I saw the Sharks make the playoffs 15 straight years. And it's like, I got a lot of memories, but I would probably trade, like, that's a good debate. Like, would you take the Blues one cup in 15 years over 15 years of, like, lengthy good hockey? And obviously everyone's going to say the championship. But I don't. I don't think you do.
I think the only time that you say that is if like you're actually an employee on the team and you're like the GM. Obviously, as the GM, you take the championship. But you got like, dude, you got years of like Joe Thornton in his prime, like Patrick Marleau, like amazing teams.
It's tough because I'm in year three of them not making the playoffs, and I'm not used to this, and they are going to be bad. And I can't describe how much I hate not seeing a playoff game. Like, just seeing a first round, I would trade a lot for, and it's wild. Like, but you know, is what it is, and you know, we'll see how the playoffs shake out. I think that that Leaf series, man, like everyone's going back to the original thing I was saying about fan bases, though. Like, Leafs very high and low. Montreal Canadiens does not matter. They are so proud of their team that when they lose, it is everyone else's fault, and when they win, they're the best team. Like, it's way more infuriating. And the Rangers are that, even worse to an extent. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the city they're from, and it's very higher class. I don't know what it is.
I wouldn't say higher class, because when I think of the Rangers fans, I think of families like Nippens, like that blue collar, like they like hockey. They didn't grow up playing hockey. And it's something in their blood that they're like Rangers fans, right?
Maybe, like, yeah. Maybe, you know? I don't know. Like, it's just like there's just something about it on social media. I don't know why. And I would have never known had I not been like on social media as my job. Because like in Canada, no one cares about the Rangers. Like they're in the news because every player wants to sign there in free agency. But other than that, like, you don't hear about them in Canada. It's literally the Leafs and the Canadians. And then we'll sprinkle in the Western Coast teams every once in a while. But
And just to clarify, the family like Nippon, you know, not a negative thing. I come from a great family. So I think, you know, there's a great thing about the blue collar fan bases in the United States. Like, you have Philadelphia like that, dude, where, you know, those people weren't playing hockey growing up. But like, no matter what, like, they love their team. Dude. You know, they'll throw batteries at Santa Claus, but like, they love their team.
Philly fans are a different breed for every sport.
We have our last, want to do our last thing
before
we
wrap up.
Top five, we have this week, we have top five pet peeves.
Yep.
So who's starting?
You started last time. I'll go first this time. I actually have six, and I'm really trying to decide what are the five, but I'm going to go with, this is a gym one. I cannot stand when someone has too many free weights or a machine that they're excessively using where I can't work out. Which is why I have to like go to the biggest gym in my city. Because I've gone to all like the nicher, smaller, like hard gyms. They don't have a lot of stuff. And the second that there's like a couple people in there, cannot stand it. Drives me up the wall. I'll just leave. I'll straight up just leave. So that is my one. The excessive equipment use in the gym.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, well, I'm a lazy piece of shit, so I don't have a gym one. My first one. People that always say music was better X amount of years ago, you know, people are always like, oh, I wish I grew up in the 80s because, you know, music was good back then. Okay. I am of the opinion that there's a lot of great music out. You just have to try a little bit harder these days to discover it.
Dude, we did a top five and our top five was all over the range of genres.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with you 100%. Like, I think music, there's great music in the 80s and 70s and 90s and great music today. So,
yeah. Exactly.
I agree. Speed limit drivers, or literally anyone that is impeding me driving freely to the destination I need to get to.
Now, speed limit, is that people that drive exactly the speed limit?
Yes. I'm saying that if I have a place to get to, like I got to go to a destination, if you impede me from going the speed at which I want to, in the comfortable manner that I want to do it in, I lose my damn mind. So usually I'll say speed limit drivers, because usually it's people doing the speed limit. But I'm talking like, you know, someone that it's a two lane street and they're just blocking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just can't get out. Yeah,
and
the
they're
waves.
Going like the same speed, like get like somebody. There should be a fast lane, you know, and then there's like the speed limit lane. I agree with that. I'm usually somebody that drives a speed limit or just five over. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be that idiot that gets into an accident and then the highway's backed up because, you know, I don't want to be that guy.
Yep. No, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
All right. My next one, a very specific one, especially. So this is coming from somebody that has always hated it. But now that the fact that I'm having a daughter, I hate it even more. People that have shirts on their little girls, like the babies or toddlers, it says like, daddy says I'm not allowed to date anybody or stuff like that. Those random shirts that sexualize little kids, I can't stand. And I think it needs to stop. Because like sometimes it comes from a point of innocence, but I just think it's a really weird shirt. And it shouldn't even be a thing. So that is my pet peeve.
Okay.
I don't know if you agree with that. I think it's weird. Very it's like specific. Daddy's little princess or like.
Doesn't bother me because I'm not like a dad. I could see why it would.
Oh, I've always hated it. I've always hated it. I think it's weird.
I've been ignorant to the topic, I guess would be the way to describe it.
Yeah.
Okay. I know what number one is going to be. I have ridiculously biased sports fans down. That drives me up the wall more than anything, but I won't include that. So not getting 10 minutes to myself when I come home. No, I don't know what it is. I don't know if this is because my old man did this for 20 years and I never realized it. If I come into whatever home I lived at when I lived with my wife's family, when I live here, if I walk in, it could be from, and it's different here because like I work from home, right? But even when I'm done streaming, I go upstairs and I immediately have to do something or, you know, like Skyle's like, we got to go there or whatever. I can't sit down and just lay down and do nothing. I hate it. Like, I absolutely hate it. I used to come home and I used to be like, Skyle, I'm like, you got to give me 20 minutes. And I don't do anything specific. Usually it's just I sit on the couch or I go on my phone or I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, but I need to like chill to the point where I'm like, all right, let's go. Now I'm okay. I hate that immediately coming home and having to do something.
Yeah, that does suck. Mm-hmm. I do agree with that. Wasn't a pet peeve of mine, but I also like having about 20 minutes to poop in the morning. I think that's a necessity.
Okay.
And anytime you have to wake up and go somewhere, it sucks.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
All right. My next one is people that are always doing lawn work or cutting the grass. Living in the suburbs, dude, it doesn't matter what time of the day it is in the summer. There's always a lawnmower or something going on. And I'm always thinking like, do these people not work? I'm trying to take a nap. Can you not do this all the time? Like, dude, my neighbor, he cuts the grass like twice a week. Like your grass isn't growing like that, you know?
No, I can. Okay. I can appreciate that. Yeah. Okay. I guess I don't know. I guess it doesn't bother me because I view a cut lawn as like making the bed for your house. Like if you have an entirely clean house, but your bed's not made, everything's ruined. It's not clean. It's a mess. So, I view like the same thing. If everything is dressed up on your house outside, but your lawn's not cut, like it just ruins everything. So I would rather that than someone who doesn't.
Okay, fair enough. Guess. Well, I guess I'm always somebody that's late on it. So
okay, fair enough. Okay, maybe you're the one that's always late on it. Fair enough.
I am.
How many was that? That was four
about
for you?
Three.
Okay, so we got two more. Being woken up by a yell. So I'm talking like Skyler comes in and be like, we forgot to take the garbage out. 7 a.m. Instead of opening the door, be like, hey, we got to take the garbage out. Come in and be like, we forgot to take the garbage out. We got to get up. We got to go do it. Like, I will lose my shit. I used to like my mom used to be, I don't know why, my mom used to be so like comforting when she used to wake me up for school. But my dad would like bang the door and be like, get the fuck up now. Like, you're going to, you know what I mean? Like, he would lose his mind and maybe like internally like hate it so much. But yeah, like, or like if my cat jumps on my sternum and my cat wakes me up and like it's a startling, like not comforting wake up, I hate it. Like I, one of my biggest pet peeves, can't do it.
Okay. I like that one. Mm-hmm. My fourth one is people that repeat a joke without giving the credit. So specific. You ever been in school or work or something, you know, mm-hmm. and like you might say something one-on-one to somebody and it's really funny, but you don't want to interrupt the main flow of the conversation, but that person will say it louder and get a great laugh from everybody and act like he was the one that thought of it.
Yeah.
I hate those people.
Okay. I respect that. I can definitely get on board with that one. My last one, the number one thing I hate more than anything is small talk. If I can't have a conversation with you that is about something of substance, because I'm a pretty good socially aware person, I think I have to be in like the job I do. Like I'm really good at networking. And so like I hide like social, I understand social cues very well. I will have to fake a lot of interest if it's someone that doesn't give me some sort of like interaction that like I don't want to say respect, but like if it's a topic or something like that I don't care about, man, do I want to be anywhere but there.
Yeah, the guy that lives behind me does a lot of that small talk, and I hate it so much. I hate it so much. I want to have a conversation at some point and just be like, hey, listen, I don't like you, but can we come to an agreement? Like, we just shouldn't talk to each other ever. I wonder what he would say. I don't have a problem. Like, I don't like him, but it's not because of him. But like you can't say that.
No, you know? Absolutely not. Yeah, you absolutely cannot say that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that was five.
I got one more here.
Oh, lay it on me.
That's five for you. My wife does this very specific thing. All right. She'll continue a conversation or say things to me. Either she's in another room or she's downstairs or there's a loud noise on, like if we have I'm taking a shower and the water's coming and then I also have the vent on, like to, you know, do the air or whatever, and she'll talk and I can't hear her, right? But she'll just keep talking and I don't know if she thinks I can hear her, but I can't. So very specific, but that's my final pet peeve.
Dude, my wife like has like that exactly. Like she'll be like saying something and I can't hear her, and I know if I say, "Hey babe, what'd you say?" She'll get so mad that I didn't hear her. She'll lose her mind. So I'll just not say anything and then just guess what she said. And then
I don't know what they're thinking. Like the one day I was like, "I can't hear you. I can't hear you," you know? Like,
see, like, okay, so, like, that doesn't bother me. I'm saying, like, so, like, my wife, that bothers her, like, a ton when you can't hear. Like, so it's, I don't know, like, it's wild. It's the exact same. It's funny. It's funny that you say that because like, my wife has the exact same thing.
I think it's a woman thing because a couple people maybe in the chat mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what it is, but, all right, yeah. Well, another banger episode, if I do say so myself. Episode 31, guys. Make sure that you follow myself and Kesso on stuff. Do you make YouTube videos anymore, bro?
No, I'm taking a break. There's a couple I might want to do over the summer, NHL 23, but yep. You know what? I'm not full time, so I do what I enjoy.
I love that. Do it when you are enjoying it. All right, guys, that is going to do it for us. Episode 31. We will see you next week. Have a good one, guys.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.